Welcome to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, it's been 2 years now since Florida voters decided they wanted to expand the use of medical marijuana. And this month, Governor Ron DeSantis said he wants to move forward, too, and fast.
I want to have the elected representatives write the law in a way that the people intended. So we'll give them a couple weeks in session to address the smoking issue. And if they don't do it, we're going to dismiss the case and we're going to move on.
Now, the smoking issue that he refers to is whether or not pot patients in Florida can smoke their medicine. Under Governor Rick Scott, the state sued to ban smoking prescribed marijuana. The state was sued and it lost, but it was appealing that ruling. Governor DeSantis, though, wants to drop that appeal and have lawmakers make it clear that patients can smoke legally prescribed marijuana. It's something Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried also supports.
I think that, you know, so many of our patients are needing medical marijuana in all of its form, and that's in its purest of forms. And so there is, who are we to be in the way of patients and doctor access? And so if a patient is getting recommended to have the raw flower, then that's what they should be getting. And so I encourage our governor to be dropping the lawsuit and to make sure that the raw flower in the purest form can get to our patients.
So we are going to spend the full hour this Friday here on the Florida Roundup talking about medical marijuana around the state, how the new governor and the legislature may deal with the issue along with the state's new agriculture commissioner, what changes you can expect, and the rules around who grows, sells, and uses marijuana legally in Florida. So many questions so many of you have. This is a rapidly moving industry in the state, so it's going to take some time here for us to break all of the details down for you. A really fascinating topic, and we want your calls right now here on the Florida Roundup. It's 305-995-1800. That's 305-995-1800, or tweet us at Florida Roundup as we welcome health reporter Abe Aberaya. He joins us from the studios of member station WMFE in Orlando, and he's been covering cannabis in the state. Hi, Abe. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so last week, Governor DeSantis weighed in into this whole debate over smokable marijuana and said he'd like that to move forward. Can you tell us a little bit more about the lawsuit that's challenging a smoking ban on medical marijuana in Florida?
So you have John Morgan, who originally helped to fund the constitutional amendment two, excuse me. And so, you know, in that amendment, there's actually language about smoking medical marijuana, particularly that you cannot smoke it in public. So when the legislature actually enacted Amendment 2 after the, after it was overwhelmingly approved by voters, they actually had a ban in there on smoking, you know, medical marijuana. They allowed vaping, but they did not allow smoking the entire plant or the entire bud, for example. And so, you know, John Morgan and People United for Care sued the state saying, you know, essentially arguing that if you had a ban on smoking it in public, that implies that, you know, it allows smoking medical marijuana in private. And so this has kind of gone back and forth. Courts have actually ruled in favor of John Morgan originally, and that's been put on hold now. So what we had happen was last week, the, you know, Florida's new governor, Ron DeSantis, basically said, you know, he was at a press conference with John Morgan, with Matt Gaetz, who was one of the architects for one of the original bills to implement Amendment 2. And they basically sat there and said, hey, you know, we're putting a March 15th deadline on the Florida legislature. You know, if they can't get a smoking ban passed, then we're going to go ahead and drop this lawsuit.
Yeah.
And so they're using that as sort of a negotiating tool, what he referred to as a sort of Damocles. It's, you know, the proverbial
the
sword hanging over your head.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, if you don't get this done, we're going to go ahead and have it done no matter what.
I think the lawyers for both sides are proposing to a judge a March 15th deadline that would give the lawmakers essentially 10 days after the official begin of the regular session in order to come to some kind of legislative conclusion here. The governor has told lawmakers he wants this law or something to come out of the legislature that has the law written in a way that people intended. Does the legislature actually need to take action in this? And I guess why does it need to take action, and why can't the state just kind of stop fighting the lawsuit?
Well, I mean, there's nothing to stop the state from fighting the lawsuit. That is an active thing that, you know, Governor Rick Scott was doing right. as governor in Florida to actually go ahead and spend money to defend, you know, the laws of the legislature. Whether or not, you know, Florida's legislature can actually go ahead and, you know, implement a constitutional amendment, there are people who argue that you don't need to. It's a self-enacting amendment. Mm-hmm. You know, there are others, though, who say, look, you know, when it comes to health and safety of Floridians, you don't want to allow just anyone to grow medical marijuana in Florida, which, you know, when you look at what's happened in other places, you know, there, you know, you can't have a risk of if someone is growing medical marijuana, but they're using the wrong pesticides or the processing is not correct, then you can actually have some health effects on the person who's smoking the marijuana down the road. We've actually seen this with some of the I forget the exact terms, but so there are these different, you know, medical marijuana sort of similar effects mm-hmm. or sort of knockoffs that, you know, the big health effects from them are not actually from the sort of, you know, not medical marijuana plant. It's that it's the pesticides and the different chemicals that are used when growing them that can actually, you know, make people get sick. So there are a lot of people who believe the Florida legislature does have a active role to play in regulating that and make sure that Floridians are not going to be able to get sick from this, which is why we now have this system in Florida where you have, you know, what I would call soup to nuts licenses, where mm-hmm. if you get a license, you have to grow it, you have to process it, you have to distribute it, and you have to sell it at a retail center. So you have to do all of those things so that that gives the state the ability to look at one person's license or one company's license and go, you know, yes, you're following the regulations we have in place, or no, we're not going to let you sell this anymore.
It's 305-995-1800 here this Friday on the Florida Roundup as we spend the full hour talking about medical marijuana in Florida. What are your questions, comments? Give us a call or tweet us at Florida Roundup. Okay, Abe, let's talk a little bit about Nikki Fried, the state's new agriculture commissioner, the only Democrat that won statewide office in November. She really won on this issue along with a couple of other issues, generating so much bipartisan support for her platform to expand the use of cannabis in the state. Tell me a little bit about her role when we look at the future of cannabis in Florida and also this new position she's created, Director of Cannabis. What powers will be vested in this Director of Cannabis role over regulation of medical marijuana? Will they be involved in licensing? What is this position going to entail?
Well, I think a lot of that is still to be determined. So in Florida, you know, based on the laws that were enacted after Amendment 2, pretty much all of the medical marijuana industry falls under the Florida Department of Health. So Nikki Fried was a medical marijuana and a cannabis lobbyist during her campaign. And, you know, she actually, as you said, did gain a lot of support, you know, because of her position on that issue. What's yet to be seen, though, is how this director of cannabis position is going to be interacting with the Florida Department mm-hmm. of Health. So you have, you know, a director of cannabis that could potentially be overlooking growing the burgeoning hemp industry in Florida. You know, during one of the farm bills that recently passed, you know, this has expanded the use of hemp, you know, across states. So, you know, we could see, you know, the director of cannabis dealing with that issue, sort of hemp, and maybe even like extremely low CBD on the side. The other question you're going to have, though, is, you know, how this is going to interact with the Department of Health. So me personally, my best guess is we probably are going to start seeing some fights between the Department of Health and the Agriculture Commissioner, you know, on how these, you know, who gets to regulate medical marijuana in Florida.
Right now it's in the Department of Health, though, Abe, right? I mean, there's no question
absolutely.
About where it sits today.
No, there's no question of where it sits today. Now, the other thing that the Agriculture Department does actually have, control over is sort of the federal, you know, department that goes through and looks for people who are growing cannabis on their own. And this has been, you know, over the last 10 years, I think they have found, you know, $3.2 billion worth of cannabis that's being grown, you know, basically homegrown. So you could actually see them, you know, go back when it comes to that issue of, you know, can you grow your own medical marijuana? As far as an enforcement issue, the Agriculture Department actually works with law enforcement, including federal and state, to go after those home growers. Mm-hmm. So if you have a director of cannabis who maybe, you know, has a different philosophy when it comes to this, you might see less enforcement on that front as well.
It's a whole new front opening up in the state when it comes to the expanding use of medical marijuana. We're talking about it for the full hour today here on the Florida Roundup as the governor, Ron DeSantis, a conservative Republican, has struck a much more pragmatic tone about this issue than his predecessor, Rick Scott, saying smokable marijuana should be allowed. Let's follow the law. The will of the voters. We want to hear from all of you right now, wherever you happen to be in this state this Friday. What are your questions about cannabis in Florida? It's 305-995-1800. Tweets to Florida Roundup as we go to Greg and Stewart. Hi, Greg. Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, the bureaucracy behind this whole process to me is absolutely blinding. The voters have spoken. The results are, for medical patients, are 100% accurate, and the bureaucrats and the politicians who are against or blocking this either have A, no experience ever in their life of smoking marijuana, or B, never having a loved one that needed the tremendous medicinal effects of the marijuana. And also, in saying that, I'm a California-based San Francisco Bay Area transplant. It has proved to be more than fantastic out there for cancer patients, leukemia patients, trauma patients, so many medicinal uses. We need to get off the bureaucracy wagon on this and just get a process. Floridian taxpayers have spent way too much money already for this simple little process. And I thank you for taking my call.
That's Greg and Stewart. Thanks, Greg. Abe Abaraya, that's why the amendment legalizing this drug was approved. Those very arguments Greg just made, that all of the different types of ailments cannabis can treat. Now, what about his comment that the legislature just needs to get out of the way? Certainly, this wouldn't be the first time the voters accused the legislature of slow walking the will of the voters that approve something via constitutional amendment. What about the role of the legislature when they convene this march for their legislative session on this issue?
Well, you know, when the legislature does convene in March, we are going to have to see, you know, how quickly they're able to deal with this issue and, you know, what exactly they're going to be doing with it. You know, there's a lot of different negotiating aspects of this. You know, kind of going back on the historical front, you know, this was originally approved by more than 50% of voters in 2014. And so what happened was that's not enough to get a constitutional amendment in the Constitution. You know, you have to break that 60% threshold. So, you know, after Floridians voted over 50% to allow medical marijuana, the Florida legislature tried to sort of acquiesce to that. And some people viewed it at the time as, you know, maybe the Florida legislature could say, hey, we have a form of medical marijuana, you know, to sort of cut that off in the 2016 election. So, you know, when you have this question now of now it's 2019, you know, this has been approved by more than 70% of voters since 2016. We're 3 years out from that, three years out from that. You know, how the Florida legislature deals with it is going to be sort of the big question. We don't know.
Yeah. How have they dealt with that 2014 vote? You're right. They did pass some legalized cannabis oil, but it was extremely narrowly written law. And that led to, again, a groundswell of the signatures that put the question on the ballot in 2016. And as you mentioned, easily met the 60% threshold. Mary is on the line in Miami, 305-995-1800, 305-995-1800. That's the phone number. Mary called it. Mary, you're on line four. Go ahead. You're on the radio.
I also have a couple comments. The first one is I find it quite interesting that the will of the people was smoking the marijuana. I don't recall. I was involved with the 2014 campaign. I don't recall actually them defining the difference between vaping and smoking when people were voting for it.
Mary, you're a little scratchy on the phone. Between vaping and smoking is your question?
Exactly. And my understanding, too, is vaping is no better than smoking.
Yeah.
And then my second comment, I am a medical marijuana card holder in the state of Florida. The costs are so exorbitant. It seems just so weird that I have to pay $200 every 6 months to see a doctor. And sometimes more than that, twice a year.
Yeah.
And then the fee. And then the cost of the product are so exorbitant. I didn't work for a month, and I had to go, unfortunately, underground because I couldn't afford the quality that I really need as a patient.
So you bought it illegally. You did not buy it at one of the dispensaries.
Yes,
gotcha.
I did.
Mary,
yeah,
I 2 points there. Let me put the vaping and smoking question to Abe. Is there a distinction between those two, shall we call them, delivery methods?
Well, there are a couple things to point out with that. For example, you know, when you come to dealing with vaping it, that is definitely, you know, having an oil that or a liquid that's been extremely well processed through a grower, you know, so you know exactly, you know, the content of the THC, of the CBD, of the different, you know, parts of the entire plant. The reason why people are so up in arms on this is because when you smoke, There's a couple things. When you smoke, it's an instantaneous effect from that. So it's very quickly compared to an edible, which can be, you know, an hour, 2 hours before you have any of the effects from it. So, you know, as far as going from, you know, having a vaping to a smoking, the reason why people, you know, sort of are very up in arms about this is because there are a lot of questions about whether having different parts of the plant interacting with other parts is, you know, what gives you relief.
Right.
So this has been not very well studied at the federal level. So there's not, you know, example.
And Abe, let me just have you quickly respond to Mary's concern about the cost of the legal product.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the rules that a patient has to follow in order to be legally prescribed the medicine.
That is a consistent criticism of Florida's medical marijuana program that I hear as a health reporter is the cost. And that's part of the reason why this ban on smokable medical marijuana is such a big issue in Florida. If you are going from having to process the plant down to a vaping liquid versus just having a plant available to be smoked, you know, you're going to be eliminating a lot of the processing, which should theoretically you know, be lowering the cost for patients. The other factor of that, too, is Florida has had this, like I said, this soup to nuts program as far as who can grow it. And Governor Ron DeSantis was very blunt when it came to this, that he's not a fan of the way this was done. He views these as legalized cartels. And so
interesting to see how he's being pragmatic, though. I want to talk more about the politics of this with the governor's office after the break. Also, getting tweets about the sale of marijuana in Florida, even though it's still a federal offense. There are so many finer points in the law there that we will get into here on the Florida Roundup, and also still to come, CBD. You're seeing that product sold everywhere. The latest trend in medical marijuana around Florida. What you need to know. What is it? Where can you buy it? Who can sell it? That's next. You're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Keep listening as we talk cannabis. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. CBD, it's showing up in pizza, pet products, maybe even ice cream floats here in the state of Florida. CBD is cannabidiol. It's a chemical in marijuana. And, you know, Melissa, maybe you've seen these CBD on signs and billboards. I know they're around here in South Florida, and it's really the latest trend here as Florida tries to map out the future of medical marijuana.
And, you know, Tom, you see the signs everywhere up here, too, in North Florida, health food stores, mm-hmm. grocery stores. I'm really curious to get calls from people in other parts of the state as we talk about CBD. We want your questions and calls. Right now, we're continuing the discussion with health reporter Abe Abaraya with us from WMFE in Orlando and joining us here at WJCT in Jacksonville, attorney Sally Kent Peebles. She's a partner at Vicente Cederberg. They're a nationally known marijuana law firm providing legal and policy services to cannabis and hemp businesses. Sally, good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And we're continuing with your calls and tweets and emails right now here on the Florida Roundup. It's 305-995-1800. What are your questions about CBD? I have a lot of questions. Tweet us, too, at Florida Roundup. Okay, Sally, bring us up to date. What marijuana products are available in Florida, and are they all medicinal? It seems almost like the Wild West now. Everyone's rushing to get these products out there. Tell us more.
So it's good to make the distinction between medical marijuana and hemp, and CBD can be pulled from both of those products as they're both in the cannabis sativa umbrella. Medical marijuana that the medical marijuana treatment centers are able to dispense, and there's 14 of those in the state. They are allowed to have edibles, even though those rules have not been drafted yet, so they're not selling those. And they can have vapes and lotions and infused products, and that will all be medical marijuana, not hemp.
And CBD. Tell us a little bit more about that product. I'm seeing it marketed in health food stores, even to pets.
Absolutely. This is a huge topic right now. So cannabidiol, there are a ton of chemical compounds in the cannabis sativa plant. THC and CBD get the most press. THC is something that has that the compound that has a euphoric effect. CBD is known for all the medicinal effects it has. Both of those are found in cannabis sativa. Two strains of that are medical marijuana or marijuana and hemp. The distinction there is that hemp has 0.3% or less of the THC. Right now, we have in December, the Farm Bill came out, and this is why it's being talked about so much. Trump signed into law the 2018 Farm Bill, and that did a lot of great things. Okay, it removed the hemp from the definition of marijuana, removing it from controlled substance. So hemp is now federally legal. But what it did not do, and it's key for people to understand, it did not legalize CBD. And that is because CBD, all products that are consumable are regulated by the FDA. Mm-hmm. And the FDA's current position, which a lot of people are arguing against, and there's lawsuits against them for this, is that CBD cannot be included as a food additive or a dietary supplement.
And so we're seeing this product marketed in Florida, even though legally it's still in a gray area?
Absolutely. It's not actually a gray area. It is clearly not legal CBD be placed into a food additive or nutritional supplement.
Everyone's doing it anyway.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people call. They're like, how can this be illegal? I see it being sold on Amazon. I can get it at Lucky's and Whole Foods.
Yeah.
But we can probably come up with a long list of things that are not necessarily 100% legally compliant, and we're still seeing out there. And the reason is the FDA is not heavily funded. So are they really going to drive down to that pizza place down in South Florida and knock on their door and arrest
and
them?
And raid them, yes.
It's not really a federal enforcement priority for them right
Sally,
now. And that's the key distinction.
It's Tom Hudson. What about in pet products or other consumer goods like shampoo and lotions, things that you don't eat necessarily,
yeah.
But
it applies there too.
It does,
because
okay.
The Farm Bill did not change or amend the FFDCA, the Federal Food, Drug, Cosmetic mm-hmm. Act. So cosmetics, drugs, foods, the argument that I just posed applies to all of those. Pet products, it's just not a huge priority for them.
Yeah.
However, it's very key to understand that while it might not be a huge priority, even since the Farm Bill was signed in December, we've had four notable enforcement actions by the FDA. One was even in Florida. There was a woman who flew into Miami and Fort Lauderdale last week, I believe, and was stopped by the Customs Border Patrol because she had CBD-infused lotions and shampoos. You know, she was only given a $500 fine. She was not arrested, but she was detained. So if there's people out there, you know, wondering if they should do it, it's really a business risk.
And let me just jump in with a tweet from a listener. I've been using CBD for anxiety and insomnia for several months. months now. It has been a godsend. Immediate effects without side effects, unlike medications I've tried. It is rather expensive, though. Abe Abaraya, getting back to what you mentioned in our first segment, people that want this product are going out and buying it, but they don't really necessarily like the cost. Do you think as it becomes more widely available, the cost will come down, as is usually what happens?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a supply and demand question in Florida. And, you know, as we have talked about previously, there are 14 dispensaries that have got licenses in Florida. They have about 88 locations statewide. And if the governor, you know, really does what he's talking about doing, you know, you might see more competition for that, which theoretically, you know, kind of economics 101 should lower the cost for it. Now, when you're talking about CBD in particular, that one's a little bit tougher to kind of postulate on because, you know, I feel like with what's going on, there's sort of a business risk that a lot of organizations are taking and saying, well, you know, these products are in demand by consumers. You know, it's in this sort of gray, but not really gray area. And so, you know, you are seeing like it's sort of
it's
that question
black
of like, you
and
know,
white.
Yeah,
it is black and white. It is not gray. But, you know, you might see, you know, people being willing to take that risk of catching a fine that, you know, in their perspective, maybe, okay, well, maybe the fine wipes out a percentage of profits, but not, you know, the entirety of the profits. And so you might see the CBD products being more widely available. We certainly have seen them here, you know, in grocery stores and, you know, just kind of all over at this point.
How does the amendment that was passed by the voters of Florida, which is kind of where all this is moored to right now, right? I mean, you know, the law, the legislature and the governor are not asking or looking toward expanding upon what voters approved in 2016. So the question is, where's the intersection between that kind of guiding document and this edible market and the CBD market?
Well, it's a bit of a difficult question to answer. I mean, did you want to jump in?
No, I certainly can. I was just going to say that another thing that the Farm Bill did, it tasked the individual states to create their own programs. In Florida, we actually already have a pilot program that was developed under the 2014 Farm Bill. However, it does not permit any commercialization.
For edibles and CBD? Or a pilot program for what?
This is the hemp pilot program, which CBD can be. So all of these products you're seeing on the shelves are not from medical marijuana.
Right.
They are pulled from hemp. And again, CBD can be pulled from both hemp and marijuana.
So I think that's why there's so much confusion, Sally.
Right, exactly.
People tend to think of this as a monolithic product. There are multiple product lines that are coming from different areas of the agricultural product. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes, and not only think of it as a different product, they are controlled completely separately by different laws. So the medical marijuana statute that's been under attack by the courts, that applies to medical marijuana only. Okay, the smoking, all the vertical integration, the limit on the state licenses, all those lawsuits are only applying to the medical marijuana system that the voters voted on Amendment 2. For us to have a hemp program, which we could also pull CBD from, we need to have a hemp bill drafted, which there is one that's actually a very good hemp bill that's being proposed this legislative session that would allow for Florida farmers to cultivate, process, and sell hemp. And would provide a little bit more guidance on the CBD issue in the state of Florida. Because, again, the federal farm bill does not affect state law. Yeah. We would have to do that here.
Let me squeeze in a quick call here. Frank in Jacksonville has a question about federal legislation. Go ahead, Frank.
So as far as federal legislation goes, is there anything that's going to change this from a Schedule I drug to maybe a Schedule III?
So that would be related to marijuana, not hemp in this regard. And obviously with the federal government consumed with the shutdown and immigration, there doesn't appear to be much other legislation, room for much other legislation. But Sally, to Frank's point, you know, the marijuana issue still remains illegal at the federal level and brings up a host of issues around companies in Florida and all these other states that are operating legally under state law, but not so much under federal law.
So what the industry is very excited about and got behind last year, and we're hoping that'll make it the way through the federal Congress this year, is the States Act. And that would make it essentially legal in states that have state programs. So while it doesn't change this descheduling at the federal level in a blanket fashion, it would effectively make in it. So in Florida, where we have medical marijuana, it would be considered federally legal in the state of Florida only. Now, that will open up a large opportunities for current operators that are affected by 280E, which is a negative tax consequence that the industry faces, and other things like research will be lifted, mm-hmm. because right now you can't research medical marijuana because you could lose your federal funding. Right. So things like that would be alleviated with the States Act.
And let me get a tweet in for you, Sally. Florida still treats marijuana as an illicit narcotic. Registered nurses in the state who obtain a license might have their license revoked by the board, saying nurses can't prescribe it or give it out. Is marijuana medicine or not? And if so, why are nurses barred from using? And, only some doctors can legally, under the state's rules, prescribe the drug. And apparently no nurses can work with this drug. So what about that?
So there is you need to understand the difference between prescribing and recommending. Doctors here can only recommend, and they can only do so if they've taken a required course by the statute. And there aren't a lot of doctors doing that. The prohibition she's mentioning is at the federal level. We would love to see that alleviated, but we're not going to until, again, it's legal at the federal level.
Until it's legal at the federal level. And so as we talk about this somewhat murky picture of medical marijuana in Florida, what's clear is that use of it is expanding rapidly in Florida. Lots of calls and tweets and emails from listeners all over the state as we try to bring you up to date on everything happening with us here on the Florida Roundup, coming to you from Florida Public Radio. All right, now we're going to bring in Don Moxley. He's the Director of Applied Science and Brand Development at Grow Healthy. That's a licensed medical marijuana operator based here in Florida. Don, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for the opportunity to join you.
Okay, so tell us about your customer base, people coming to your dispensary. Tell us what's happening at your business.
Well, the business is growing like crazy right now. You know, I think we're experiencing the same thing that the other licensees in the states are, is that there is a lot of interest. There are a lot of customers. There's a lot of people that want to learn more about it. And our challenge is being able to keep up with the demand as it relates from a product standpoint, the diversity of products that are necessary to meet all the needs. So we're like any other good company out there trying to meet the needs of the consumers that are coming to us.
Don, it's Tom Hudson. Do you sell edibles at Grow Healthy in Florida?
We do not. The state has not given us direction on preparing edibles. We're still waiting for that.
There's also an effort by the new governor to break apart what has been referred to as the vertical integration regulations in Florida, where a single license has to cultivate, process, and distribute. Some would say would broaden out the market considerably. Others say it would disrupt what has already been built. Would Grow Healthy support the elimination of the vertical integration model in Florida?
Well, I don't know that Grow Healthy is in the political business. We're going to respond to whatever the guidelines that we're supported. At the end of the day, we're a company that's trying to meet the needs of the consumers with a high quality product. And so whether we stick with this vertical model that we're in, or if it does go horizontal, you know, as a good business, we need to respond to the rules as they're presented to us. We don't make those.
But you're not lobbying the legislature for one way or the other?
Currently, we are not.
Okay.
And tell me a little bit more, Don. You said you're just scrambling to keep up with the need and the products that customers are demanding. What are your most popular products, and is there a certain type of customer that's more common than another? Are you seeing a lot of, say, cancer patients, people with anxiety? What's moving fastest, and who are your most reliable customers?
Well, I think our customer base is best described as incredibly diverse. The customers that are coming to us are not different than what we see from the state report, that the majority of the the medical customers. The majority of the recommendations are being written for either post-traumatic stress disorder or for pain-related issues. So that certainly constitutes the lion's share of the people that give us a call for delivery or actually walk through our door. And then that follows up with a probably a fairly equal share that may be using the product for the treatment of cancer, of epilepsy, of multiple sclerosis, any of the neural issues. We certainly have them, but there's no doubt that we see our patient base reflecting the lion's share from pain is just where everyone's
pain.
At.
Sure, pain. And let me ask you, too, have you taken any cues from other states that have already gone through this whole process, in particular California? What mistakes have other states made, do you think, when it comes to the rollout and marketing of these products that Florida could learn from?
Well, as far as the answer to your first part of your question, are we taking cues? Yes. One of our big challenges as a company is finding quality employees that know how to work in the space. So we are actively looking for talent, whether it be at a management level or at an operations level that have been through this. And we have a lot of people on our team that have been through this. You know, Darren Potter, who is our head grower, he's a native Floridian, but he spent time in California, he spent time in Colorado, was an award-winning grower. And so he brings a lot of experience to our team. Our vice president of extraction, Ethan Borg, has a master's degree from the University of Netherlands. It comes out of Colorado. So yes, we as a company need to learn that, and we're constantly investing in that kind of talent.
Don, hold on. We're going to take a short break. We've got a lot more to talk about with you and about with our other guest. This is Don Moxley. He's the director of applied science and brand development at Grow Healthy. It's one of the 14 licensed medical marijuana operators based here in the state of Florida. Abe Abaraya, healthcare reporter with us from our sister station in Orlando, WMFE, also along with us. He's going to stick around. And Sally Kent Peoples is a partner at Vicente Cederberg, a national marijuana law firm. Your questions about marijuana, medical marijuana in Florida, recreational marijuana, edibles perhaps, 305-995-1800 at Florida Roundup on Twitter. It continues after this. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks again for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville, as we're spending the full hour this Friday talking about medical marijuana in the state. Of course, it's been legal for 2 years, but it's been a slow rollout and lots of questions about the law, what products are legal, which ones are not, and lots of calls from all of you. It's 305-995-1800. Raul is in Miami. Hey, Raul, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for the opportunity. I'm a newly retired firefighter paramedic for 28 years, and I've been a registered nurse in South Florida for almost 30 years. My number one thing that I want to point out to you is in my experience, I have never, ever, ever had a patient come to me because they smoked pot. I have had thousands of drunks. I have thousands of prescription medication overdoses, different types. But when it comes solely to just smoking pot, I don't know why or how, but never had a patient complain sickly of the effects from smoking marijuana.
Raul, thanks for that, sharing your experience as a paramedic. That's Raul in Miami. Thanks for that. Here's another tweet about that from, oh, by the way, we're getting lots of tweets at Florida Roundup. We'll get as many of them on as we can during the hour. Here's one from William. I fail to see the logic of classification of marijuana and LSD as a Schedule I controlled substance, while alcohol and tobacco, responsible for many more deaths, are legally available on the market. What's wrong with this picture? Sally Kent Peebles, our attorney specializing in cannabis. You've, by the way, handled regulatory and licensing work in the state for 17 of the 14 Florida licensees selling this product. So we're glad to have you on the show. Certainly, voters agreed with that tweet. They've decided, a supermajority of Florida voters have decided that this drug should be more widely available. Okay, and, you know, as we move through this discussion, recreational use, we're getting tweets about that as well, asking that or seeing that passing this for medical use is just a stepping stone on the path to full recreational legalization. Do you see that as being a possibility in Florida or not?
I have practiced, I'm also licensed to practice law in Oregon and Colorado, so I have practiced for several years in a cannabis space where we did have a full adult use program, and I'm an attorney, so I generally try to keep my personal opinions out of this, but I saw a great success with legalization, not only from a harm reduction standpoint, but from a criminal justice issues. You know, minorities are arrested for smoking marijuana and having possession of marijuana at a much higher rate than Caucasians. And so this can help level the playing field. And is it a step in Florida? It might be. We do see that there are three different groups forming campaigns to run a legalization measure in 2020. The polling that's been done in Florida has shown that it is accepted, and people do support the adult use of marijuana in the state of Florida. But it is going to be tough to pass here because we have to have a 60% passage for a constitutional amendment. So there are a lot of people in this industry who don't think Florida would be able to pass it in 2020, but it will certainly be tried.
Yes, whether it will pass is another question. Abe Abaraya, we've got a number of states now that have legalized marijuana for recreational use, and you do see activists trying to get that on the 2020 ballot. That is the petition drive for that is happening as we speak, isn't it?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I feel obliged to point out is, you know, John Morgan, who has bankrolled the medical marijuana amendment through, you know, two election cycles, has made it very clear he does not, you know, have an interest in going after recreational marijuana now. He's sort of moving his ambitions over to a statewide minimum wage of $15 an hour. So, you know, as far as actually getting I think there are two questions. Excuse me. There are two questions when it comes to legalizing recreational marijuana or adult use marijuana. One of them is, you know, will the Florida legislature take this up? I think that one's a pretty resounding no. I don't know of anyone who thinks that this is something that the Florida legislature will take up on their own. However, when it comes to, you know, a constitutional amendment, that's a bit of a different question, as far as whether or not the ballots will, you'll get enough signatures to get it on a ballot in 2020 or, you know, a different year.
One of the knocks on the 2014 effort, though, was that the language was written too broadly. And that's why some advocates figured they weren't able to meet the threshold of 60% votes. And then when the amendment proposal came back 2 years later in 2016, it was more narrowly written. There were specific illnesses that were spelled out in the amendment language. And that was seen by supporters, Abe, as one of the reasons why it was able to find the over 60% vote that it needed in order to pass.
But I would point out, too, that, you know, it does also have the language in there or other qualifying, conditions that are similar to it. So, you know, it is a question of it. When you look at the polling for this, it's a question of generations. It's a question of time. Mm-hmm. You know, the more time goes on, the higher the voting population that is in a younger demographic now.
Yeah.
You know, you do see that switch there. So I think that, you know, on a long enough timeline, you know, you might see changes at either the federal level as far as doing a Schedule One, or, you know, at the state level as far as allowing for recreational and, you know, Justice Department and how they handle that is an entirely separate question.
Yeah. In the meantime, the new governor, obviously, as we mentioned, has directed the legislature to take steps to specify that smoking medical marijuana is allowed under the amendment that voters approved. Don Moxley is still with us, the director of applied science and brand development at Grow Healthy. It's one of the 14 licensed medical marijuana operators here in Florida. Don, is Grow Healthy prepared to sell the leaf product if there's clarity?
Sure we are. We're excited about that. And we, you know, as a company, we were always looking down the road to figure out what's coming up next. So when the governor gave such a positive statement last week, you know, we continue to turn up our preparations on that, but we are excited for it, and we will be ready for it.
Odds are March 15th is going to be the day. On or before that, there'll be some kind of clarity. If that timeline holds, Don, how soon could customers of Grow Healthy find a smokable product in their dispensary?
Well, we expect that March 15th, but then there's going to have to be rules and regulations laid out about, you know, how is the product distributed and prepared and so forth. But it doesn't change the fact that we're already growing flower in our facilities now. We're having to take all that flower and process it into oil for the most part. But it will just be a diversion of a certain amount of product into the flower distribution line.
Don, thanks for sharing your perspective as the Director of Applied Science and Brand Development. Don Moxley here with us on the Florida Roundup from Grow Healthy, one of the licensed medical marijuana operators based here in Florida. And I'll remind you that you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Back to the recreational effort here. Elton in Hollywood is on line 5 with a question. Go ahead, Elton. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. I'm from Hollywood, Florida. I just wanted to know when they're going to legalize the recreation part, because I've been on marijuana since I was 15, and I don't have no kind of issue, no side effect.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why I'm using it is because it helps me sleep. And it also, I have an anger issue, and it also calms me down, I mean, dramatically, where I don't get into altercations. So basically, I just want to know when they're going to legalize it for recreation for people like me.
Elton, before we get to that, let me ask you, do you have a prescription now for marijuana?
No, but I just went to one of those marijuana medical center. And I just got an application. I just ain't filled it out yet.
Gotcha. Elton in Hollywood there on the idea of recreation. Abe, I think, as you mentioned, you know, long shot. No would be the answer from this legislature. The governor and the legislature has shown no signs of expanding on what has already been enshrined by the amendment.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty, you know, pretty safe bet right now. But, you know, one of the other things to question is there has not been sort of the, you know, People United for Care sort of umbrella group that has been able to raise a lot of money on this and to go out and get signatures. So we haven't seen any of these recreational marijuana signature programs that have, you know, got a significant chunk to go.
In the minute we have left, Sally Kent Peebles, you've watched this play out in other states all over the country. Is recreational marijuana coming to Florida, yes or no? At some point.
I hope so.
You hope so. Why?
I think, I mean, at the base level, it's silly to make a plant illegal. And I have seen the great benefits that not only it has to, as like I said, criminal justice issues, harm reduction, but I mean, what the legislature should be paying attention to is the economic benefits something like this can create by tax revenue and the ability to avoid the incarceration fees. Court fees, it would be a boon to the state, and we could see that benefit through new schools. I mean, there, we could allocate those taxes to harm reduction and education on medical marijuana and things like that.
You saw that in Colorado, where you were based before you relocated.
Absolutely.
Here to Florida. Certainly Colorado has taken advantage of the big influx of tax revenue that's come from full legalization of cannabis in Colorado. We will certainly have to see how it plays out in Florida, a very different state here, but it's been a fascinating hour of discussion. So thanks to everyone who called and tweeted and emailed and Facebook messaged the show on this very hot topic. And thanks as well to Abe Abaraya. He is a health reporter at WMFE in Central Florida. Follow him on Twitter at WMFE Health Nerd. Thanks, Abe. And thanks, attorney Sally Kent Peebles, for being with us this hour. Thanks so much for being on the show. And that is our show, The Florida Roundup, produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Bridget O'Brien and Heather Schatz are producers.
Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, also our Technical Director. A theme music provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. We'll be back next week. Have a great weekend.